If you're a physician who wants more autonomy in how you practice or fulfillment in your life, you're in the right place. This is the Change Physician Podcast, where our guests reveal how you can learn the mindsets, skills, and strategies to create the life you want without selling out your morals or values. But before we begin, I want to remind you of the free book giveaways, guides, and other physician resources available to you at thechangephysician.com.
Dun, dun, dun.
And we are live. Welcome back to The Change Physician. I am Melissa Cady with my co-host, Dr. Kevin Cuccaro. And if you're seeing this on another page, such as my Challenge Doctor page, this is originally from The Change Physician. If you want to learn more about The Change Physician podcast and community, you can go to thechangephysician.com. And today is our weekly Monday Motivations. So for February 8th, and we talked last week about some things we're motivated to do. Did you want to tap into that, Kevin?
Tap into what we, well, I think we repeated similar to what we did the week before.
We did. Because it's just the fine, process. You know?
But that kind of aligns with if you're motivated to do something consistently over time, that's where real change occurs, right?
That's right.
And so we were talking more of a physical mindset, and I think you were increasing higher intensity. I've got this more kind of strength-based thing that I'm doing. I'm still doing it, still motivated to do it. Really enjoying it. Actually motivated this week. I'm changing some of the little, this is a kettlebell thing, which everybody uses kettlebells. They're kind of funky, but it's great. And so that's my motivation again this week. I just want to focus on getting strong. And sounds kind of silly, and this also reminds me to this other thing about complexity, right? Because I was thinking about sales and marketing, and Mike Wooming had me on his podcast, and we had talked about sales and marketing and things. And there's all this complex stuff. Like, people love to sell complexity. People love to buy complexity, and it's like the most useless junk most of the time. Like, it's like, you know, there's all these forums on this and fire and that or whatever, and there's people like, well, I don't know, how am I supposed to balance my portfolio? It's like, make it simple. Like, the amount of difference in a 3-fund portfolio versus a 2-fund portfolio versus something else is such a minimal, like, think about if you're going to spend 25 hours of your time to figure out 2 different funds versus going what Warren Buffett would say was just choose the best index funds, your overall stock market funds. And you save those 25 hours, which is simple, but you can't really sell it. I don't know. Anyway, so I like these simple things. It's my little rant on the money motivations is the best things in life are relatively simple, and you do them over time, and that's where change occurs.
Yes, and I absolutely agree. And I don't think most people would mix in fitness with marketing and all these other like extrapolations you had, but you know what? It works.
It's all the same, man. All of it. Like, there's these core principles, whether it's fitness, whether it's nutrition and diet, whether it's movement, whether it's pain, whether it's finances, there's these simple kind of constructs and they all sort of overlap. And the danger to it is if we try to make things too complex. I mean, really, really, I think that's a big problem, is just making everything way more complex than needs to be.
Yeah, I think you're demonstrating that this week, your Monday motivations is to actually prove consistency
based on
similar kinds of motivations. I'll have to say that I didn't horribly fail with my effort to take some, increase my intensity over the past week, but I did have a hiccup, and this is what life is all about. Sometimes things don't go as smoothly as planned. I did have my second Moderna vaccine last Tuesday. By the next morning, had some little chills and low-grade fever and just this whole overall malaise and myalgias. What's that?
I said, which is awesome, because it means your immune system's like gearing up and getting ready to do some battling.
Yeah, well, I was telling everyone at work, I was like, it got exposed to the enemy, and now the soldiers are ready to attack. And so they were putting on a full, assault, not quite full, but like
training exercise. They're doing full training exercises.
Right. It was a preemptive strike just in case. And I had a headache probably for 2 or 3 days, kind of mild you know, weaned off about 48 hours, 72 hours later. But the main symptoms that were like kind of took me down to where I didn't feel like doing much, I was just letting myself kind of recover. You know, that Wednesday, I just didn't do much of anything. So I gave myself a little hiatus from my intensity effort for working out, but I kind of anticipated that to happen anyway. And no big deal. Just get back
workout.
On.
It was an internal work. It was an internal workout, you know?
Yes.
Get all those internal functions.
My immune system was, you know, trying to go full throttle there for a day or so. But, you know, you talked, I think this Monday Motivations this past week kind of brings up a topic that we wanted to just dive into a little bit. And you mentioned sometimes it's about simplicity. And sometimes we have a change up like I experienced. But that can also apply, as you said, to many realms in life, that sometimes we need to have, many of us are stuck at home and are working from home or whatever the case may be and have quarantine for various reasons. Sometimes we need to be either creative and creating space for ourselves, especially for those that have children that might need to step away or have just a few moments to yourself, a place to appreciate nature or be outside or like a special room. And I thought, you know, it'd be good for us to tap into that a little bit. I can probably talk about my special place.
Well, but that was, we were talking about really in investing for experiences, right? So there's, for those of you who don't know, and I know Melissa's going to reveal it in a second, because she built a sunroom in her house, right? And that kind of ties into everything else, like simple, complex, what do you save money on, what you don't, what's worth it, what isn't. And that space, you know, having a space like that or investing money in something that will continue to generate positive experiences over time, that's simple, it's consistent, and promotes positive change, right? So it kind of fits everything in that model. So, and that led to this, to a brief pre-live discussion where we were talking about the pandemic here and the importance of creating these experiences, positive experiences over time in our home lives, right? And there is a huge opportunity. I know we've been almost a year at this, and we probably should have done this at the beginning, I guess. But there's this really huge opportunity for us to start really thinking about what our home environments should be like. How are we going to construct them in a way that facilitate like this positive place that you want to be, rather than feeling that you have to escape it all the time? Mm-hmm. You know, why do you have to, there's people, oh, I can't go out to eat. Well, why is it that you feel like you have to go out and eat? And what about reframing that as an opportunity of, well, maybe I've always wanted to learn to cook, or maybe I didn't, but maybe my mother, grandmother had a recipe. Then here's my opportunity where I can learn to make it for myself. Mm-hmm. You know, if you like wine, I guarantee you that the wine that you buy for yourself is a lot cheaper to drink in your house than going out someplace else and buying it with their 150 to 300% markup. But really focusing on these positive experiences and centering it on in our home, because I guess pre-pandemic, when people's driving around and having these commutes and things, and the home was just a place that, I don't know, you maybe ran in and saw your kids or whatever, maybe you slept a little bit, but then you ran out again. And really they should be, we're spending even pre-pandemic, we spent so much time in our homes sleeping and getting ready to do whatever. And now we're spending a vast majority of our time in our homes. So how can we design those spaces in a better way, mm-hmm. that you wake up into, that you can sit in, that you're comfortable with, that you're happy in?
Yeah. So what's your favorite space or time or experience that you create to give yourself sanity?
I don't have one.
You don't?
I need more. Right now I have a lot of pain in my house.
Well, we all have a portion of that, I'm sure.
No, it's cluttered, man. Our house is so cluttered.
Yeah. Well, you know, I totally get it.
Yeah.
It's one thing if you live by yourself and don't have to contend with other people, live in the same space, share the same space, different, you know, approaches to the household and whatnot. You know, I think many of us get that.
Well, one thing, I have positive expectations on this, right? So my kids are both high school age. They're both at home. And I just remember growing up. So it was my sister and me and my mother. And our house had a tendency to be pretty cluttered. I remember, she's going to kill me for saying this, but our dining room had so much stuff on it. We ate most of the time on our living room floor. And, you know, and we watch TV as a family and eat like whatever we're eating. We just would eat in the living room. And it was great. Like, Mom, if you're watching this, you shouldn't be embarrassed. It was wonderful. We have lots of good stories about it, but we had a lot. It was a very cluttered thing. Right.
Yeah.
And, once we left, and someone, my sister was older than me, she left, and then once I left, and then I don't know what happened to my mom, she went nuts. It's like she started redoing everything and she updated her house, and now it's like spotless. Like when we go to visit, which we obviously haven't done because of the pandemic, you're like afraid to touch anything. It's like, and I'm like, what happened here? But I always remember that, because in the back of my mind I'm like, I'm going to be really sad when my kids leave. Like, it's going to be super, super traumatic, because I just absolutely love having them around. But man, maybe the house won't be so cluttered anymore. It's
like, yeah, you know what? Pros and cons.
But, although they're probably not the major ones. But anyway, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't have a space. Well, I'll just make a plug for, you know, you talk about there's so many...
I have a chair. Actually, I'm going to change that. I have a chair.
Oh, there you go.
So I have a safe chair, and it's I will sit in this chair, which was my grandfather's chair, which was actually Earl Stanley Gardner's, who was the author of Perry Mason's chair, who was my grandfather's really good friend. And so I have this massive, big rocking chair, wood walking chair, and sitting under this lamp. And that's my, I guess if I had to pick anything, that's my space. Because when I sit in that chair, there's history. Plus, it's this awesome chair. It's like so cool. You just sit in it. And you get a big old chair. You got your light. You could do some reading there. It's really comfortable. So,
yeah.
I look around, and as long as I don't look across the room and see all the other stuff everywhere, it's pretty good.
Yeah, but. Yeah. I feel like you know, there's a, you know, you talked about experiences, creating your experience, and you know, I think, you know, just to kind of think about life. You know, what it is about your life, you know, you fill from in that dash, so to speak, you know, it's all about experiences and memories. And so when I think about, you know, the choices we make and trying to create different experiences, you know, I was a little hesitant, you know, initially with creating the sunroom, it's pandemic, all this stuff. But you know, there are always ways for them to entice you to, you know, don't pay for it up front. Let's, you know, you can have a year before you have to start paying anything. So I'm like, you know, it's really something I would love to have something. I love being outside, but I can't stand having bugs like swarming around me like wasps or bees. I mean, I love seeing them, but I don't really want them near me where they could sting me. And yes, I've been stung.
Makes sense. Yeah. I don't think many people like that. Ooh, no. I love stinging bees surrounding me and landing on my face.
Yeah. So it's like, I get the best of both worlds. So I have pure light coming through, and I feel like I'm in nature. I can open the windows. I can, you know, hear the birds. I can hear the owls. I can hear, you know, even at night, like super cool. I mean, I'll see some foxes walking around their sunroom, which they've gotten very comfortable. Little chair that does massage stuff that I've not really ever used since, you know, a friend of mine, a nurse, and I had gotten and some special deal at a conference and hadn't really utilized it well. But it's like, now this little space is an area where I have full control of how I want it to be designed and what is in there and tidy.
Like
it feels like kind of like just a beautiful space and very inviting. And it's not just, I think about for me, like I'm really looking forward to post-pandemic. For those that mistake saying we're post-pandemic, I don't know what world you're living in, but you know, I don't see anything really fully getting back to normal till next year. And I think it's gonna be a slow going return, but anyway, I'm looking forward to next year being an amazing opportunity to just create experiences and that space where it's not just about me and some serenity and whatnot, but it's also about, you know, engaging with other people and making a nice space for other people to enjoy too. So there's so many other levels and layers of why I think that space feels so amazing to me. And I love gardening. So that's another thing. I mean, I'm not a pro, But it's I like to be a little adventurous and try things and just see how they go. And so
can you see your garden from your sunroom?
Uh-huh.
And see, that's even better because then you can go out and garden and then you can actually watch it grow. Well,
there's a lot of weeds in my yard that like I'm looking forward to this year planting a whole bunch of stuff that's beautiful. I'm actually going to order stuff online. So if anyone has great ideas where to order, Brex is one of them, B-E-R-E-C-K. And the garden something, I have to look that one up. But I wanted to find some really just, I love a little evergreen, but then some sprouts of color for the spring and summer. But I love functional gardening stuff. Like I like to produce food and it's really cool to just clip your own arugula and your own, you know, dill and like your own, you know, cilantro. And yeah, so I've got herbs. Those do pretty well. So
are you doing container gardening or like square foot gardening or?
I do a little bit of all of it. So I've got those portable elevated ones. I've done the 4x4s. I've got just the regular ground. I've got little pots. I've got hanging pots. So I try a few things. I kind of gave up on tomatoes. They require so much water. And when it's 100 something degrees here in Austin, it's just too much work. So maybe a little cherry tomatoes or something, but. Other than that, I like things that are low maintenance, self-sustaining, stay around most of the year if it's like, you know, regular plants. But yeah, so anyway, enough about me, but you know, outdoor sunroom gardening, that's just to me, just super fun and rewarding and makes you get out there and move. And so there's like a physical, mental kind of connection there that I think the love you put into all of that, you reap the benefits from that and, you know, you can have a pretty amazing yard and garden. So I'm looking forward to by next year, things should look a lot better.
Yeah. You do need to have a longer term attention. That's for sure. That's always been the challenge for me is it always started off strong and then the persistence was never there. Like I built the raised beds in San Diego and we had one summer, we had a lot of food. Mm-hmm. Then we didn't after that.
Yeah. But
I always wish I was a gardener. I wish I married a gardener.
That would have been best, huh?
instead, I married a knitter. It means there's just yarn.
Knitting everywhere.
And more and more yarn. But she makes cool stuff. Like, it is amazing what she can do. But holy crap, we have yarn, like, coming out of our ears and fiber and stuff. But I don't know. She's someone you want in the zombie apocalypse because she could make you clothes. Like, quite literally, she can make you clothes.
Hey, you know, there's a plus to any of those things, but for some of us, I like to just be physically oriented doing things and it'll keep me from being too lazy. And so it's, I think, kind of a win-win, but I'll keep you posted over the year, how things develop. I'm pretty excited. I think I could, especially cause I won't be traveling. I can tend to things a little easier this year, especially when they're newer. You know, I probably wouldn't travel.
Do you have a good exit? Like, does your backyard from your sunroom, is there a good flow? Like, do you have a patio out there too?
Well, I was going to, and then I found out how much it was really going to cost. It's expensive. So I'm creating just like I had some extra stones left from a fence. And so I hand carried them and put them in front of the sliding door. And I'm going to have one individual just help me create a sidewalk to the front of the house. So it won't be nearly as expensive as like a full patio.
Because you're in Austin, and what's the average temperature there? Like, I know you get hot in the summer, but in the rest of the year, is it like outdoor? No problem.
Well, let me just tell you how crazy what you call Austin weather is predictably unpredictable. Mm-hmm. So right now it's 72 degrees.
Okay.
And then it's going to drop to like highs of 40s by the end of the week.
Oh, okay.
It does this zigzag thing. So I don't know what you'd say the average is, but for the most part, I mean, other than this little, I would say it's 80s. If you were to average it out is my guess, but
you're farther.
90s, hundreds is like for most of the non-winter weather.
Yeah. And you're pretty far inland actually.
Now that I'm looking at the map.
that'll cause some inconsistency. Because I was thinking, when we lived in San Diego, one of the things that we did talk about was space. We had redone our entire backyard, and that was a space that I just absolutely adored. Like, talk about a safe space, in a pleasant space, an experiential space. But because San Diego weather is so, I don't want to say necessarily predictable, but it's pretty steady. And so what that allowed us to do is we were out there all the time. Like I did a lot of grilling and cooking, and we would have people over, and we'd have a lot of, you know, gatherings on this back patio. And it was this really the center point, but it flowed. Like our kitchen flowed directly out onto this patio. And I definitely miss that. I wish our house here had something like that. Cause those spaces are just amazing. Like having a living space that is just comfortable, and then also has, I don't know what I always call it flow. It's just the flow in the house works. So everybody doesn't get stuck. Like, you know, typically people will gather in the kitchen, but if your kitchen then flows into a entertaining space, it seems to just makes it so much more enjoyable. I don't know.
Yeah. No,
I'm babbling about safe spaces and and comfort and experiences and missing my yard in San Diego again, but whatever.
Well, I will say that, you know, looking at the Austin, Texas weather averages, it'll pretty much anywhere from 40s to 70s are the lows throughout the year, and anywhere from 60s to 90s and sometimes in the hundreds, you know, for the year. And I
mean,
hundreds in the summer occasionally. Okay. But in general, it's, you know, over the course of the year, it's ranging anywhere from 60s to 90s. But I put a little split unit in it, so I can keep it. I keep it at a temperature that's close to the rest of the house, so that it's never really too hot. Because in the way the summer gets in Austin, there's no way I would have without an AC unit.
Mm-hmm.
I would just need to temper it down to at least the 80s.
Don't get cooked in there.
Yeah, like, I just, you know. Oven. Yeah. So, yeah. So that's cool. My happy place. Why don't we give them an update on what's happened this past week and what's coming for the podcast?
Yeah. So we had awesome episodes last week, like super. Well, we always have awesome episodes because the week before that was awesome too. And the week before that was us. It was still awesome, but not as awesome as our guests. But this one was really important one particularly for physicians to think about is disability insurance. And we had the remarkable Stephanie Pearson, who was a OB-GYN by training, had an on-the-job injury, and really had this experience with the disability field, which transformed her life. And now she is in disability insurance business. And what I absolutely adored about talking with her and hearing her perspectives, as well as the service that she does, we don't like, so on the change position, we go and go promote everybody. We're not selling anything here. But her service is one that I absolutely believe in. If you're a physician and you're looking at disability insurance, I would talk to her.
Yeah,
because she's got the lived experience. She's got the physician perspective. And she's not doing what people tend to look at physicians like all of a sudden that you just make a bunch of money and they just want to bleed you out with junk. Like there's a couple of companies that come up over and over again that are pretty predatory on physicians. I'm not going to mention their name because I don't want to, but more I'm concerned that they would come after me.
Yeah.
But Stephanie doesn't do that. And so those are really, really good episodes to provide her perspective. And also from a physician side, also how your background as a physician, there are so many things that you can do. This is a theme on the change physician is if you're not doing clinical care, there are still things that you can do. Going to medical school and becoming a physician is never a detriment to you. And so how she's transitioned. And then the second episode is talking about disability insurance. So really, really good episodes. And then that leads into this week's episodes, which I'm a big fan of direct primary care. And that was with Dr. Paul Thomas, who's got an awesome story. You know, you talk about people who go into medicine because they want to help people. And Paul went into medicine because he wanted to help people. And then he discovered that the system doesn't really help you, particularly in primary care, to help people as best you can. So he started his direct primary care first year out of residency, if I'm remembering correctly. I think he was doing urgent care or some locums work and opened his direct primary care practice, has been remarkably successful with Plum Health in serving a, you know, some people will talk about like direct primary care is they think it's concierge care, which is a really expensive model. It's not true. And he built this clinic actually in an underserved area of Detroit to serve a specific population of people that he knew did not have access to quality care. And he brings it in a way that he can now practice, and his staff can practice in a way that they're providing positive value and they're not beholden to these insurance companies. So really, really good episodes there. His first episode where he tells his story, and the second one where he talks about how he started up that direct primary care practice as a graduating resident, which was a little bit counter to Peter Lehman's episode, which we had earlier in the year, where he talked about it as an established clinician and how he started as direct primary care clinic. So really good episodes. You can obviously tell I'm really excited about him because they're
He's
awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing work.
Super cool stuff.
Yeah. Definitely. I've already shared this episode with a friend of mine who's a resident going to be coming out of family medicine here in the next couple of years, that I'm like, you got to listen how he did it.
You know, and we know, because primary care is just getting beat down. Mm-hmm. They've been absolutely abused by the system. Now, granted, no physician necessarily doesn't make a lot of money. I mean, physicians, if we're looking at the overall society, do pretty well. But from a physician standpoint, they tend to typically make less. They work harder. And I don't, as a specialist, and if anybody specializes, they don't do anything. We have this little limited purview, folks, and they have to cover everything, and everybody's dumping on them.
Yeah.
So a very, very difficult job, and fundamentally the most important aspect of healthcare, really. Mm-hmm. I do believe that at least 80% of healthcare should be delivered through primary care, not the 51% that we have now.
Great.
And so they, you know, they're feeling sort of beat down all the time, but they also have the skill set to branch out, probably easier than any other specialties, into something like this direct care model. But I don't know. I'd like to hear your thoughts on it, because you've sort of done it on, you're sort of doing almost a direct care anesthesia. We should talk about that sometime, because you're almost doing direct care anesthesia. Is direct care more for the, you know, for the surgical practice or whatever, but it has a different kind of level of control for yourself as compared to other people.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, Wayne, we should do that on our next episode maybe we'll just talk about that on our, we'll do a recording for our host chat.
Yeah.
And talk about creating your own unique medical experience for your patients. Because I do predominantly cash, but it kind of just, for a lot of reasons, fell in the right way at the right time. And it fits me as my personality and what I believe in for patients and what they deserve. So yeah, let's totally do. We'll do a interview or chat, I should say, about that. That'll probably come out in the next few weeks if we do that. So you can look forward to that one.
Very cool.
All right. Well, on that note, as far as the plans, our motivation for the upcoming week, we already talked about.
we covered all sorts of stuff on this Monday motivations, motivation, yeah. You know, our personal experiences, growing experiences. Yeah. We're all over the place.
Well, good. Well, then I'll take us out, unless there's anything else you need to say.
Take us out, Captain.
All right. Well, again, I'm Melissa Cady with my co-host, Dr. Kevin Cuccaro, for our traditional 2021 weekly Monday Motivations. And thank you for joining us today. And feel free, if there's anything that you're curious about and would like to hear more about, or just maybe have some ideas, or even perhaps maybe a guest you think has a unique story, we're willing to hear you out. We won't guarantee we're going to interview, but we're willing to check those out and maybe bring them into our podcast if it makes sense. But we would love to have you as part of the community. Make sure to check out the changephysician.com. And if you've checked out our podcast, or when you listen to it, feel free to rate and review or give any comments you'd like, and we'd love to read those. So until next Monday Motivations, we will see you later.
See you, folks.
Thank you for joining us today on the Change Physician Podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please let us know by going to thechangephysician.com. And while you're there, be sure to check out the free book giveaways, guides, and other physician resources available to you simply by joining the community at thechangephysician.com.